Hello, I'm Sue Reed, and on behalf of my co-authors, Gina Hinwood, Angela Gugis, Rod Hunt and Dinah Redihoff, I am pleased to present the results of our research on neonatal well-being and timing of brain injury in term and late preterm cerebral palsy. The paper is published in Developmental Medicine and Child Neurology. The term cerebral palsy, or CP for short, is a descriptive term for persons who have difficulties with movement and or posture resulting from a diversity of brain pathologies and causal mechanisms occurring early in life. Population-based CP registers have made substantial progress in harmonizing the eligibility criteria and clinical descriptions of CP. However, it is not yet clear how best to describe and quantify the diversity of causes or the timing of brain injury. Although brain injury and CP can occur in the antenatal, perinatal, or postneonatal periods, most CP registers do not currently differentiate between antenatal and perinatal timing. Better understanding of the causal pathways and timing of brain pathology is key to interpreting why rates of CP change over time and to identifying where to focus preventive efforts. Increased availability and classification of neuroimaging has made this more feasible. With that in mind, the aims of this study were to use a population-based cohort of term and late preterm CP to describe the distribution of neuroimaging patterns, ascertain the associations between each MRI pattern and neonatal well-being, to estimate the proportion with antenatal or perinatal timing of neuropathology, and lastly, to apply this information to understand common mechanisms of brain injury and causes. The cohort comprising 1,348 persons with CP was identified from the Victorian Cerebral Palsy Register. Collected over 36 years of operation, this Australian statewide register holds data on nearly 7,000 persons with CP. The birth years 1999 to 2017 were chosen for this study because these are the years for which we have comprehensive neuroimaging data. The 35-week cutoff was chosen to include more mature neonates that are not routinely admitted to a higher care nursery and based on the gestational cutoff used to define neonatal encephalopathy. Persons where brain injury occurred after the 28th day of life were excluded. In order to estimate the likelihood of antenatal or perinatal timing of brain injury, we relied heavily on classification of neuroimaging patterns and on three factors to define neonatal well-being, namely condition at delivery, admission to a neonatal intensive care or special care nursery, and the presence of neonatal seizures. Neuroimaging patterns were based on the MRI classification system for CP. We used an adaptation of the MRICS, whereby basal ganglia thalamic and corticosubcortical patterns of predominant grey matter injury were differentiated from focal arterial infarcts. This pattern is referred to as a global hypoxic ischemic pattern. Predominant white matter injury was the most common pattern in our cohort. Overall, 7% had no available imaging, with this proportion decreasing over time. The criteria we used to identify neonates in poor condition at birth were a 5-minute APGAR score of less than 7, significant resuscitation, or longer than 1 minute to establish regular respirations. 35% of the cohort met these criteria. In contrast to the other neuroimaging patterns, 87% of those with a global hypoxic ischemic insult were in poor condition at delivery. Just over half the cohort was admitted to a neonatal nursery. This proportion rose to 98% for the group with a global hypoxic ischemic insult and to 59% for persons with no available imaging. Neonatal seizures were reported for 26% of the late preterm and term CP cohort. For 86% of those with global hypoxic ischemic insults, and for 38% of persons with arterial strokes. Interestingly, only 9% of persons with brain maldevelopment had neonatal seizures. Taking into account birth condition, nursery admission, and presence of neonatal seizures, we ascertained that 57% of the cohort had a complicated neonatal period. This included 98% of those with global hypoxic ischemic injuries, as well as 62% of persons with no imaging and 60% of those with arterial infarcts. The proportion of the cohort with a complicated neonatal period decreased over successive birth epochs from 61% to 54%. The biggest decrease was for the group with predominant white matter injury. For this study, we developed an algorithm to determine the likely or presumed timing of brain injury. The presence of a congenital brain anomaly or fetal diagnosis of brain pathology provided strong evidence for antenatal timing. In the absence of these factors, the presence of dysmorphic or other syndromic features, together with an uncomplicated neonatal period, was considered to provide weaker evidence in support of antenatal timing. Where there was no evidence to suggest antenatal timing, MRI evidence of an acute insult or presence of neonatal seizures provided good evidence for likely perinatal timing. A complicated neonatal period provided weaker evidence for presumed perinatal timing. If none of these criteria were met, the timing was reported as unknown. Over the whole term and late preterm cohort, the timing of brain injury was deemed antenatal for 57% of persons with CP and perinatal for 41%. Timing of injury varied markedly depending on the main neuroimaging pattern. Antenatal timing predominated in association with brain maldevelopment, miscellaneous patterns, and normal imaging. In contrast, perinatal timing predominated in association with global hypoxic ischemic patterns, arterial infarcts, and in the small group with no imaging. Over successive birth epochs, the proportion of perinatal timing in black decreased relative to antenatal timing from 49% to 36%. These data provide new insights into why the rate of CP and term births are reported to have declined over the 2000s in high-income countries. The fact that our study shows a relative decrease in persons with perinatal timing suggests that the decrease in rates is unlikely to be explained by the reluctance of some clinicians to apply the cerebral palsy label to children with identified or suspected genetic causes. On the other hand, it is possible that the decline reflects advances in perinatal care, although this hypothesis requires further investigation. It has previously been reported that 70 to 80% of term CP may be antenatal, based on the presence of risk factors operating in the antenatal period. The results of this study suggest a somewhat lower proportion of 50 to 60% for antenatal timing of brain pathology, using additional evidence from neuroimaging. It was not an aim of this study to assess the impact of mediating factors operating before birth, and our findings do not imply an absence of antecedent factors or negate the possibility of acute on chronic brain injury. We have, however, been able to show the contribution of specific imaging subgroups to the 57% with antenatal timing of brain injury. As shown in the table, antenatal timing was most commonly associated with structural brain maldevelopments. It is likely that the neuroimaging groups of white matter injury, miscellaneous findings, and normal imaging may also include persons with functional brain pathology at the level of the neuron or synapse. Later hypoxic ischemic or inflammatory insults likely made a small contribution. In summary, in this population-based study of term and late preterm CP, 57% had a complicated neonatal period. 57% had presumed antenatal timing of brain pathology and 41% perinatal timing. There was wide variation across neuroimaging patterns in neonatal well-being and timing of brain injury. The proportions with perinatal timing decreased over the period when rates of CP and term live births also decreased, suggesting that advances in perinatal care may have positively impacted neurological morbidity. We hope that this study will begin to bridge the knowledge gap about causation in CP at the population level, moving towards better description of the main mechanisms of brain injury and their contribution within CP cohorts, as well as facilitating the ability to monitor changes over time and the success of preventive measures. We are very grateful to the people with CP and their families who support the Victorian CP Register, and to the listed organisations that provided financial and infrastructure support. So thank you very much for watching.